Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and a reminder that the next couple of days, Thursday and Friday, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, will feature Beth Malarkey. She is the mother of Alex Malarkey. He is the subject of the New York Times bestselling book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. This claims or purports to be a remarkable account of miracles, angels, and life beyond the world. But there is a story behind the story, and Beth Malarkey, the mother of Alex Malarkey, who is now a quadriplegic as a result of the accident that took place and the coma that he was in, she's going to tell that story right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We've had Beth on the show, and I think that in many ways she touches on the core values of the Christian Research Institute, particularly the fact that truth matters. The book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, is not only factually inaccurate, but it is faulty from the standpoint of a biblical perspective of heaven. And I deeply appreciate the fact that Beth Malarkey points this out poignantly. She wrote me and told me that she wanted me to know that she agrees, as does Alex himself, that the book is deceptive and biblically wrong. This is a serious matter because the book continues to be promoted in Christian circles. And I think this is one of the great distractions from the Christian message. There are books that traffic in selling and sensationalism. And instead of learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, instead of being participants in the kingdom, instead of being disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are being distracted by the sensational. Unfortunately, today I listened to a number of shows with James Dobson where he was promoting The Harbinger as an incredibly great book. The Harbinger, of course, written by Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. And Dobson was gushing over the book, saying that the book takes his breath away. I mean, you're telling it very rapidly on the broadcast, he says to Jonathan Cahn, but everybody's got to read this book. Read it, and you will see the validity of what's being said here. And so here you have a Christian leader who has done much good in the Christian world, gushing over a book that has no basis whatsoever in reality. In other words, it has as its premise a biblical text, and from that biblical text, it is drawing a pretext in terms of application. And quite frankly, this kind of distraction where people are selling fear rather than being transformational agents is disturbing. Unfortunately, the pattern is not all that new. I mean, you think back to what happened before Y2K. And there you have James Dobson describing the millennium bug as a problem that has enormous implications. The only question, according to Dobson, was whether it would cause a brownout, a blackout, or a meltdown. And just as he devoted three recent programs to the Harbinger, back then he devoted three radio broadcasts to the Millennium Bug. And of course, he told his constituency that he had spent an entire year reading and studying this matter. So as a result of spending an entire year reading or studying any matter, one would suspect that you're talking to a real expert. And so as a result of the Millennium Bug, he said that there might very well be terrorist activity, massive civil disobedience, a Saddam Hussein type aggressor, a world economic crisis, present political leaders refusing to yield their power, sunspots. Every 11 years, he said, the sun develops tremendous energy that is thrown out into the solar system, and the last time it fried some of our communication system, and we're expecting that again. He was expecting back then that that would happen November of 1999. And then finally, God's judgment, all as a result of the Millennium Bug. Well, nothing happened. It wasn't even a top 10 news story in the year 2000. And now we're back to the selling of fear and the sensationalism and sophistry, but worse, the script torture. And that is what troubles me. I think of the words of Jeremiah, "Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, 'The Lord says you will have peace.'" But the real message of Jeremiah was that the prophets were prophesying the delusions of their own minds instead of the word of God. So said Jeremiah, "What a straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" And just as in Jeremiah's time, we're neglecting the word of God. We have these sensationalistic prophets who are being paraded around by our Christian leaders who have nary the smallest inclination of how to interpret the Word of God, selling this sensationalism instead of telling people to learn to read the Word of God. We're being led astray because we don't know the truth. It's a sad commentary on our time. And I hope it is a motivator for many of you listening in right now to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, to learn how to read the biblical text. Because if you don't, this new magic apologetics or this new brand of reading Scripture is going to lead you astray. I am troubled, deeply troubled, that our Christian leaders, even leaders that have done so much good for this country, are falling for this kind of sensationalism in our time. It's truly tragic. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Amy. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I listen to you a lot. I really respect your program.
Thank you.
I wanted to share something with you. My daughter's 11 now, and when she was 5 or 6 days old, we found her non-responsive, not breathing. We thought she was dead. We called the paramedics, and I felt like God had told me, you know, check her nose and mouth. There was nothing in there at all, and I felt like he said, no, remember, you know, the equipment they sent home for the newborn mucus, check her nose. And I went and got that, and I was able to, you know, resuscitate her, and there was a lot of newborn mucus that hadn't cleared her system. And we didn't think anything about it. But when she was about 4 years old, we never mentioned this incident to her at all, but when she was about 4 years old, she told me, in plain childhood innocence, "Mom, did you know when I was a baby I died and went to heaven?" And I didn't really pay much attention to it because we never talked about it. We never thought that's what happened to her. And she said, "I hiccuped and I choked and I went to heaven." And she described heaven, not seeing God, but she described seeing Jesus. She described him wearing a robe with sandals, and she described him with red eyes like fire, which I thought was interesting because usually we hear brown, blue, or green eyes. And I looked in Revelation, and that's what it said. He has eyes of fire. So I let her talk some more, and I said, "Why did you come back?" And she said, and remember, she was only 5 or 6 days old. There's no way she could have this memory. And she told me, "I didn't come back because I wanted to." She goes, "Mommy, nobody would ever want to come back from heaven." She goes, "I came back for you." And I'm guessing, I was distraught, of course, any parent would be, and I'm guessing that's what she was referencing. But I was wondering what your thoughts were of that, because, like I said, she was only 5 days old. We never talked about the incident with her or any of our kids, and she brought this to our attention.
Yeah, I think what's so important, Amy, is to test all things in light of Scripture and then hold fast to that which is good. First and foremost, I've said this many times on the broadcast, if you listen to the near-death experiences, and you alluded to this in the prologue to the question, you find out that they're all different. So Colton Burpo says that Jesus has sea green, bluish eyes. God has blue eyes. Your daughter said that Jesus has eyes of fire, and you're correct to say that that is the description of Christ's eyes in the book of Revelation, but that description is not given to tell us what Jesus Christ looks like, but rather to tell us something about what Jesus Christ is like. Very analogous to the reality that when Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that does not mean that Jesus actually looks like a lion, or when he is called a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, it does not mean that he looks like a lamb. It means that he was the ultimate one who sacrificed his life so that we might be reconciled to God for time and for eternity. If we were to take the description of Jesus at face value and say, this is what he looks like from this very passage where his eyes are like blazing fire, we would say not only are his eyes like blazing fire, but he couldn't be wearing sandals because his feet are like bronze glowing in a furnace. And out of his mouth comes a sharp, double-edged sword. So there'd be a sword protruding from his mouth. So again, this is not given to us to tell us what Jesus looks like, but rather it is to tell us what Jesus is like. And I think it's really a wonderful teaching moment for your daughter where you can start showing her that while the desire to be with the Lord is the greatest desire, in fact, this is the very thing we are created for, that heaven ultimately is going to be this universe restored. And in fact, the very passage or the book that you reference points this out. God himself will live with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And that will happen when Jesus appears a second time. In the meantime, absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. That means that our body goes back to the ground. The non-physical part of us goes to be with the Lord. And when Jesus appears a second time, the non-physical part of those who have departed will return to resurrected bodies, as is clearly pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me just say this, Amy. I've written about this in detail, not only near-death experiences, but also what heaven is like in a book called Afterlife. Know what the Bible teaches about heaven, the hereafter, and near-death experiences. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brad. He's listening in Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Brad.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I had a question about where the Bible says in the New Testament that when a Christian deceases, dies, that they go immediately to heaven.
Yeah, well, basically what the Bible is telling us is that absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that is a way of speaking about being in heaven. So Paul says he's hard-pressed in Philippians 1, from both directions, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. Or in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, home in the body means absent from the Lord, but absent from the body means to be at home with the Lord. And Jesus, of course, said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paradise, or Abraham's bosom, are ways of talking about being in the presence of God. And that, of course, is heaven. But heaven is also this universe restored, and that is the ultimate box stop of Scripture. Paradise lost will be paradise restored, is the very thing I alluded to in Revelation chapter 21. Again, written about this in my book, Afterlife, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
How can the church share the good news with people whose intellectual capabilities are affected by disability? We must begin by understanding that the range of intellectual disability includes some who can express faith and others who cannot, and then adapt our approaches accordingly. In the Effective Evangelism column, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal explores sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Have you ever wondered why Christianity is losing ground in our current culture wars? Could it be we simply have far too many lambs trying to hold their own against secular lions? Clearly, the battle for truth that is raging in America is not for the faint of heart. That's why the Christian Research Institute is in overdrive, seeking to mobilize every possible resource to strengthen believers in the fight for truth. Consider us old-fashioned, perhaps, but there's just something fundamentally unfair and not terribly bright about sending lambs out to meet lions. To help Christians do more roaring and less bleating, call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI to make a gift that matters. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. You're standing shoulder to shoulder with CRI in arming hundreds of thousands of Christians to fight the good fight. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Apologetics is now hot stuff, but with popularity comes the danger of zeal getting ahead of knowledge and character. Christian defenders need to know the arguments of apologetics, but they must also find their moral bearings to carry the truth nobly, because both life and truth matter. Other topics include, is animal rights a biblical concern? Rethinking parenthood and the biblical foundations of the family. Sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Joyce Meyer in the 21st century. John Hagee's magic apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, go online now to equip.org and make a generous gift today. That's equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Something you can find on the web at equip.org is the Christian Research Journal, the Gay Pride Month Bundle. Many of you will recognize that this is Gay Pride Month, and so it's a good month for us to equip you in this particular area, to know what the Bible teaches and how to communicate that with gentleness and with respect. Public opinion on gay marriage and gender issues has shifted radically in recent years, and Christians want to follow faithfully the Lord Jesus Christ as they think and speak regarding this issue. You can request the Christian Research Institute's special four-issue package of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you for your donation this month as well. The journal articles include Gay Teens, Bullying and Suicide, Should Christians Attend Same-Sex Weddings, Gay Marriage, A Christian Response to the Gay Rights Arguments, and much, much more. These are actual full-on back editions of the Christian Research Journal in which we dealt with these issues, and we'll send you the whole journals. In fact, there'll be four of them. As our way of saying thank you and as our way of equipping you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Fernando next in Whittier, California. Hi.
Hello.
Your Hello. Question. Hi.
Hey, Hank. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hank, my question is, what would you say to a Christian denomination that's well-renowned, well-known, allowing a Masonic member to come in and speak over their pulpits at certain conferences?
Well, I think to have anyone speak in any pulpit means that they should be thoroughly equipped in the essentials of the historic Christian faith. In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. And therefore, if this Freemason is thoroughly equipped in essential Christian doctrine and committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But the problem that you have typically is that you have Freemasons communicating what the Masonic Bible communicates, and that is, though religions are many, religion is one, and thus men can come to their altars regardless of their gods. And in the biblical perspective, certainly when you're guarding your pulpit as a shepherd, you don't want people to communicate that there are many different altars and many different gods. There's only one God, the God revealed in Scripture. And he is the only one to be served and worshiped, and the only way that we can be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ, not through what we have done, but rather through what he has done on our behalf. So I think, again, it's critical that pastors protect their pulpits. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Christian in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Christian. Hello, Christian.
I've read your book, your collector's book, and what's disturbing is because my sister is a Jehovah's Witness, And I was wondering, is Jehovah's Witnesses are the truth or not? I listen.
Well, no, they're not. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Christianity died with the last of the apostles, and they believe Christianity was not resurrected until their founder, Charles Taze Russell, began organizing the Watchtower Society back in 1870. So from their perspective, Christianity disappeared. And they say the cross is a pagan symbol adopted by an apostate church. Salvation is impossible apart from the Watchtower organization. And certainly while the witnesses on your doorstep consider themselves to be the only authentic expression of Christianity, the reality is that the Watchtower organization compromises, confuses, or contradicts essential Christian doctrine. And this is very serious, particularly when it comes to the nature of God. They're teaching their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God invented by Satan, and that Jesus is merely a God. They teach that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, that during his earthly sojourn he became merely human, and then after his crucifixion he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. These are just some of the dangerous doctrines that they're teaching, which completely undermine orthodox, authentic Christianity.
Okay, that's understandable. Thank you.
You got it. And, you know, while there are spiritual dangers, it's also worth mentioning that there are physical dangers involved. I should note that under the threat of being disfellowshipped, Jehovah's Witnesses are barred from celebrating Christmas, birthdays, holidays. But that's not the real problem. The real problem is that they have regulations regarding vaccinations, organ transplants, blood transfusions, and these ordinances are always in the state of flux. So in 1931, Jehovah's Witnesses, or at least the devotees of the Watchtower, were instructed to refuse vaccinations. By 1952, that regulation was rescinded. In 1967, organ transplants were ruled a forbidden form of cannibalism. By 1980, the edict was erased. In 1909, the Watchtower produced a prohibition against blood transfusions. Well, based on their past history, that may one day become a relic of the past. But in the meantime, tens of thousands have not only been ravaged spiritually by the Watchtower Society, but have paid the ultimate physical price as well. This is a very dangerous cultic organization. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Reed. Reed is listening in Salt Lake City, Utah on KUTR. Hi, Reed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, are you familiar with Chuck Missler?
I am.
So I listened a few years ago. A friend gave me a presentation by him that was entitled Inheritance and Reward. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
It was an older presentation, probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But what he covered in that intrigued me. He covered this idea that for Christians, there's going to be various states of heaven. I hope I'm saying this right, in the sense that he has certain New Testament scriptures to say that a certain group, he called them the
You're going to have to get to the point really quick because the audio is terrible. I can hardly hear you.
Okay, let me get to the point. The point was... All right, can you hear me better?
Yeah.
Okay, so the point was a certain type of Christian, what he called the overcomers, would experience a greater heaven than other type of Christians. They'd have more responsibilities, there'd be more blessings, they'd have more crowns. Have you heard of this concept before?
Well, yeah, I mean, a couple of things. One is I wouldn't be listening to Chuck Missler. He's a sensationalist. He's highly prone to theological speculation. But as far as rewards in heaven are concerned, that's a thoroughly biblical concept. I mean, what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then says Paul, if anyone builds on that foundation, you can do so using precious stones like gold or silver or costly stones, or you can use wood, hay, and straw. And your work is going to be shown for what it is, because the day of the Lord will bring it to light. Each person's work will be tested, and if what they have built survives, they will receive reward. If it is burned up, they will suffer loss. They themselves will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And Jesus said much the same thing. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. Or do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus, again, was very, very careful to teach us that we should work for those rewards that would endure eternally.
Okay, so that clears that up. So would a good analogy of heaven be something like, let's say that Beverly Hills was heaven, which it absolutely is not. But those that live in the smaller homes would be the Christians that didn't build or did the Lord's work very effectively. And those that lived in, you know, the nicer mansions would be those that were obedient to the Lord and built treasure while they're here on earth in heaven.
Well, I think the analogies break down ultimately, but look, rewards involve both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. So, for example, the capacity for enjoying music is greatly enhanced if you master a musical instrument. And in much the same way, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. So you can imagine that my dad used to say there are different size pails. They're completely full. They're complete in themselves, but they're different sizes. And an analogy I have used on the air is if I went to play golf with Tiger Woods on a perfect day, and I played the very best game I could possibly play, I would be able to appreciate the game of golf at a pretty high level, but it would not in any way correspond to the appreciation that he has when he plays golf, because I can't even fathom what it would be like to play golf like he plays golf. I think the bottom line is, while the analogies break down, that one included, the point is that we are very clearly told that the dead, great and small, will stand before the throne, and books will be opened, another book will be opened, which is the book of life. But the dead are judged according to what they have done as recorded in the books. This is not talking about, in any way, rewards of salvation, but rather rewards of service. Probably the best way to put it in my last second before we go to break.
To a true freedom fighter, there is a thought more chilling than losing a critical battle. It's running out of ammunition and not being able to defend what is more precious to him than life itself. As I survey the battlefield today and contemplate the ever-mounting assaults on biblical truth, my mind irresistibly turns not only to our ability as Christians to hold our ground, but to reclaim precious ground lost to a rising tide of secularism. Yet whether we're holding ground or advancing into occupied territory, the prayers and financial support of our ministry partners are the ammo that make the fight possible. Without your support, a genuine advance is unthinkable. With your support, we can turn the tide. To help ensure our readiness for the battles we will encounter in the days ahead, and to help us ensure that you are equipped to defend biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's Magic Apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. While some Americans apparently fear climate change as the greatest threat to the planet, more discerning onlookers rightly fear a different type of climate change, from a spiritual and moral climate and culture that long recognized our blessings from God to one in which the very notion of God is increasingly deemed imaginary. Serious Christians should never downplay the severity of this threat. As Dostoevsky understood, if there is no God, everything is permissible. Even a moment's reflection on the horrors of the 20th century, from Hitler and Stalin to Mao and Pol Pot, confirms beyond doubt that when man rather than God becomes the measure of all things, life becomes precarious indeed. To stand with the Christian Research Institute in resisting the growing assault on biblical truth, call 888-7000-CRI now with your gift and make a difference that matters. 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Is animal rights a biblical concern? The animal rights movement has garnered much publicity but made little difference in the way animals are treated in America. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal features a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning the animal rights movement and the efforts of some Christians to develop a theology of animal rights, including a special afterword by Hank Hanegraaff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today when you call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone caller, Cheryl, next in Plano, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I heard you talking with the young man earlier about the Jehovah's Witness faith. And I have a friend who is in the faith, and she's a young woman in her 40s and suffering with breast cancer, and she refuses to have a blood transfusion because, you know, they don't believe in getting blood. So now she's on hospice because she can't continue chemo without having the blood transfusion. And so, and I've been trying to witness to her to kind of understand what they believe and why they believe that. And she really can't explain why she believes what she believes. You know, she just knows that that's their faith and that's what they believe. So I was wondering a way that I can try to, something that I could say that will, you know, help her to understand, you know, that not to say that they're, they're wrong and they're in her beliefs, because I don't want them to get on the defense and they don't want to listen to anything, but to maybe try to get her to think another way of what she's doing.
Yes. I think it's really important in this particular circumstance that we do what we can to see if we can get someone else to talk to her as well, because this is a matter of life and death. In other words, it sounds to me like if she gets a blood transfusion, she has the possibility of life, whereas if she doesn't, she's most certainly going to die. In fact, you're saying she's already in hospice. So I think we need to do whatever we can to help in this regard as well. But I think that the whole notion of a blood transfusion comes from a complete misunderstanding of what the blood is efficacious for to begin with. Biblically, there's not some kind of magical efficacy in blood. It's rather that the blood of Jesus Christ, which is emblematic of the death of Jesus Christ, is sufficient to atone for all our sins. The prescriptions biblically given from against eating blood and these kinds of things have been abrogated in Jesus Christ, because he's the one who takes the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law and he fulfills them such that we are no longer slavishly bound to these civil and ceremonial laws. We have complete freedom in Jesus Christ, but that entails recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he's not just a God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, but he is God. He's the one who spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, and he's the one who knit your friend together in her mother's womb. So you have two issues here, Cheryl. The one issue is, yes, it's really important to preserve life. But the second thing is that you can't negate, under the guise of not wanting to offend, you can't negate the fact that this is a tremendous opportunity for her to embrace life that is life indeed, the life that comes through Jesus Christ alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So perhaps what would be best, Cheryl, is if you hung on and we could talk to you off the air and see what we can do, if anything, to intervene just as a ministry.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just hang on, Cheryl, and we'll do that. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Jim. He's listening in Bell City, Missouri, on Bont Radio. Hi, Jim.
Well, hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I was discussing with another Christian the issues of salvation, and this person made a statement that if somebody is else claims that they're saved, and then we see them, you know, involved in some wickedness or sinning, that it is our responsibility to inform them of that, you know, like as a first resort. And I was asking, you know, what they were using as a scriptural basis for that, and they pointed me toward the watchman prophecy in Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
and that if the folks, you know, God telling Ezekiel that if folks, wicked folks, didn't turn from their wicked ways, and that Ezekiel, if he had not warned them, that their blood would be on Ezekiel's hands. So what I'm wondering is that for us today also, or was that just a specific punishment for Ezekiel, similar to Moses not being allowed to go into the promised land?
Well, look, I think it's really important that if you are a participant in the kingdom, that you are equipped to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. What is that hope? The hope is that you can turn from your wicked ways and you can receive the one who satisfied all of the requirements of the law in your place so that you can be reconciled with the holy God. And I think that the reality is if you're talking about heaven, there's a hell to shun as well, and thus we should let people know that they're only two kinds of people in the world, those who belong to the Prince of Darkness and those who belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, Jesus told his hearers, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So if Jesus warned his hearers of the dangers of hell, I think we should do so as well. Again, that's what we're being saved from.
What I'm wondering is, you know, is are we specifically, you know, held accountable? Is their blood on our hands? Do we know that, you know, based on any other scriptural references?
Well, if we have the opportunity to do good and do not do that, then we are derelict in our duty. And we are certainly called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, not secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. So, yeah, I think that we're derelict in our duty, and there are consequences to being derelict as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right, yeah. Disobedience is not going to be tolerated. Yeah, I understand that. Okay, well, thank you very much, Hank. It's helpful.
Well, appreciate your call. I mean, look, I've often said on the broadcast that it's critical for all of us to recognize that common sense dictates that without a hell, there's no need for a Savior. And very little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there were no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation, and without salvation, there's no need for sacrifice, and without sacrifice, there's no need for a Savior. And as much as we might wish to think all will be saved, common sense simply precludes the possibility, and we are called again to be those that trumpet the alarm to people who are headed for a destiny apart from the goodness, grace, and love of the very one who created us for fellowship with him. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Sam in Oklahoma. Sam is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Sam.
Hey. How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Did they show you what I was asking about?
No, what are you asking about?
Marijuana.
Marijuana?
Yeah.
What do you want to know about it?
Genesis 1:11, where God gave us the grass of the field and the herb yielding its seed and reproducing itself from its seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit trees, which reproduce themselves after their kind.
Yes.
And, you know, that's marijuana.
It's also hemlock. I mean, hemlock is a flowering plant, but it's deadly in terms of consuming it. Poison ivy would be another example. I don't think you'd want to eat poison ivy. And you don't want to take those things and consume them that will put you in an altered state of consciousness or be detrimental to your health in other ways. There are many negative and harmful effects with respect to marijuana that include dependence, that include poor motor performance, that can impair cognitive function, that can cause distorted perceptions, problems with learning and memory. And therefore, I don't think that you want to put yourself into a position where you are hindering or harming the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That ain't what I said at all.
Oh, what did I miss? Sorry.
I meant using it for there's like 40 different antibiotics in marijuana that's never been studied because they made it illegal back in the 30s because the big chemical companies couldn't make no money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make billions of dollars a year by selling us their man-made pills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, they don't get in trouble when their man-made pills kill people.
So what is your question? I'm sorry, I missed the question.
why can't we use marijuana, like he says, to use wine for our stomachs once in a while?
Well,
because God gave it to us as meat.
Right. And I have pointed out on this broadcast that you're absolutely right when it comes to wine. You know, you can take a little wine for your stomach, and Paul prescribed that to Timothy. But the one thing that the Bible's clear about is that we shouldn't be wine bibbers. We shouldn't be drunkards, just like we shouldn't be gluttonous, because that causes severe problems. So we have to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. And what I've pointed out, maybe you've got a good point, by the way, with respect to the misuse of drugs on a general level. But the point still stands, as I communicated to you earlier. The Bible says that we are to be sober-minded, not indulging in drug-induced stupor. And therefore, we should be very careful about the use of marijuana for all the reasons that I listed, including the fact that mental illness can be one of the derivative factors that occurs as a result of dependence on marijuana. And dependence is a real problem with respect to marijuana. But there are all kinds of other illnesses. So the fact that other drugs can cause problems does not negate the fact that marijuana can cause problems as well. And the principle is inviolate. We are called to be stewards of every aspect of our humanity. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we need to care for the physical aspects of our humanity, but the metaphysical aspects of our humanity as well. We are, unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And this is our ending to the fiscal year, so please be generous as you give to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Your support is deeply appreciated and will be used for the furtherance of the gospel. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Apologetics is now hot stuff, but with popularity comes the danger of zeal getting ahead of knowledge and character. Christian defenders need to know the arguments of apologetics, but they must also find their moral bearings to carry the truth nobly, because both life and truth matter. Other topics include, is animal rights a biblical concern? Rethinking parenthood and the biblical foundations of the family. Sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Joyce Meyer in the 21st century. John Hagee's magic apologetics and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater,
The text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.